And first of all, let me say it's good to have John back. And I want to thank the Lord for that. It's good to see Buddy and Kathy back. Let me take a quick look and y'all can help me see. I think April's still having some issues with her health. Kevin. I wouldn't say Anthony. It's not Anthony. It's Kevin. Kevin is with his father this morning. He's preaching this morning and tonight. And so he drives him. So let's remember them. This thing is just killing me. I'll do it this way. Let's see. Where's the preacher at? Oh, mercy. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know who's ruined who. I don't know if Dan's ruined him or he's ruined Dan. It's one of the other. Yeah, like Lynn says, yeah. That's it. Okay. Somebody is missing, and y'all won't help me. Oh, Sandy's missing. Are they traveling? Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Jennifer is little Gideon and Hannah, and they're all sick. And let me say this, in as much love as I can, in much kindness as I've got, if you're sick, stay home. Includes me. All right. If you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Now, we've come today to chapter 13 of Revelation, right? And last week, what was in chapter 12? Someone tell me real quickly three things that were in chapter 12. Come on. Calm down. And settle down, get your mind settled down. Think about last week, don't think about this morning, and tell me three things that was in chapter 12. Don't be looking at your Bibles either. That does not count. If you don't remember, that's okay, I'll help you. What? Well, the woman is one, and the woman in there, and it defines who it is, Israel, because of being clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and 12 crowns. Yes. Yes. So, and if you go back to Genesis, at the end of Genesis, it will identify that as Israel. That same vision is what Joseph had. And it identifies only in his vision how many stars were there. There were 11 because he's the 12th. But in Revelation, it's looking back. And file that, because Revelation does look back, folks. Everything in front of Revelation is looking forward. But Revelation don't look forward because there ain't no forward. This is it. So we know that the woman is Israel. And then it says there's a great red dragon. And then it talks about the great red dragon having how many heads? Don't look. Look this way. If you don't know, it's okay. I'm going to help you. You learn more that way. How many?
Three.
Seven. Thank you. Three's okay. Hey, that's a guess. At least you're trying. It has seven heads. And 10 horns. And how many crowns? Seven. Seven crowns on his head, right? Now, that's the great red dragon. Remember that. That'll come into play, I'm telling you. All this stuff is there for a reason. And then what does the great red dragon do? The woman has a man-child, and he goes forth to devour the man-child. Well, I read to you in Matthew where the wise men came. Herod said, oh, when you find him, come tell me so I can go worship. Well, the liar, he wanted to kill him. But that was not hurried. File that. That's important. Herod wasn't the one. He says, here's the great red dragon. Well, who are we going to believe, God or other men? I'm going to stay with God. And then it talks about the woman fleeing to a place that she has prepared for, right? And it says that she'll be given two wings of eagles. Well, if you go back and read, and I did, it in Deuteronomy, he says, I brought you out on the wings of eagles. Talking about bringing them out of Egypt. Well, what does that mean, on the wings of eagles? I delivered you. So that means the same thing over there. They're going to be delivered. They'd be given a place where they can flee to. And it says, and the dragon sends out a blood. And I remember I put that up on the board where just last week one of the Hamas leaders said, we sent a flood and we're going to keep sending the flood. Well, what did they send? Water? No, they sent army. Or, well, not an army, a bunch of terrorists. But they're going to keep doing it. And he says, the dragon sends out a flood. To do what? To devour the woman. But what happened? It says, and the earth helped her. And swallowed up the flood. Well, you say, oh, come on. Come on, man. Satan's going to send out an army and the ground's just going to open up and swallow them? Well, just ask Korah if that's not possible. Oh, you can't, because he got swallowed up in the earth. That's exactly what it means. And then how does it end? Well, here's how it ends. I'm not going to ask you too much because I love you. But he says, and the dragon was wroth. What does that mean? He's angry. Really mad. That's a good way to put it, John. He's really mad now. And what does he do? He goes to make war with the remnant of the woman. And verse 14 starts out this way. And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and how many crowns? No. 10. You'll see it. Okay, here we go. Now, are you at Isaiah 14? You say, Tom, what's Isaiah 14 got to do with Revelation? Well, hopefully we'll find out. It's just my way of teaching, folks. I'm not trying to give you a commentary. I'm trying to give you what God's Word says about God's Word. And it makes a whole lot of sense to me. And I hope it does to you. I do. All right, here we go. For the Lord will have mercy on and will yet choose. Listen, them people over there that's trying to take Israel out, they're going to find out, folks, this is true. That what they're saying is not true. This is true. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will choose Israel and set them in their own land. What happened in 1948? Well, they just were brought back to the land God had given them. You know, I listen to these people, and honestly, I wonder, they claim to be Jews, only they live over here, but they claim to be Jews. And I heard one the other day say, well, you know, Israel came into being in 1948. And I'm thinking, I thought you was a Jew. You don't know the history of the Jewish nation? No, folks, what that means when they say they're a Jew, most of the time it's just they've chosen Judaism as their religion. No different than somebody saying, well, I decided to be a Christian. I've chosen Christianity as my religion. Or Hinduism. Or Buddhism, you know, I'm going to start, you know, all that stuff. That's all that means. If you are of Abraham, you are of the lineage of the Jewish nation. But the Bible says this, he is not a Jew which is one outward, but one inward. Keep that in mind. All right, here we go. And the people shall take, I'm going to do my best to just read now. That's all I want to do. And the people shall take them, bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, that he ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and unhindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow is come up against us. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet, that at thy coming it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms over thee. In other words, you're covered in maggots and worms. You thought you were so great. Who did you think was so great? Who did they think was so great? Well, I read it to you, the king of... Well, let's see. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? I don't guess he's talking about a king of Babylon after all, is he? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Let me tell you something. If you go back and read about the kings of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar and those that followed him, it was all about worshiping them. Well, where do you think they got that? From Lucifer. Folks, listen, if we'd narrow this down, we'll understand a little better. If we'll narrow this down, that Satan on one side and God on the other side, and that's the war. And Satan uses his people, God uses his people, and that's the war. You're either children of Satan or you're children of God. That's the war. It's not complicated. All evil, all wickedness, all vileness, all sin, bless God, is over here under the father of Satan. All goodness, all grace, all love, all joy, all salvation, all redemption is over here, whose father is God. That's not complicated. I don't know why people want to complicate the book of Revelation. It's not complicated. All it's telling you is the end. I think Pam and I used to sing a song. I've read the back of the book. And we win. We need to understand that. Our disheartenments would be less, our discouragements would be fewer, if we just understand we win. It may look like we're losing sometimes. It may feel like we're losing sometimes. We win. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Absolutely. Well, conquerors would be enough, wouldn't it? I mean, to be a conqueror, wouldn't that be enough? Well, he says we're more than that. So because all it's telling is, it's telling Satan's end here. And people's going to look at him and say, you're the one? I mean, you got worms and maggots over you just like I do. Does the Bible say this? They that abase themselves, I will exalt. Those that exalt themselves, I will. Okay, well, let's see if he exalts himself or abases himself. He says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like unto the Most High. Now, if that ain't the epitome of pride, I don't know what it is. Well, God doesn't put up with that, folks. Seven things doth God hate. Pride is the first one. Because if you're proud, you will never acknowledge to God your condition. Because you'll never see it. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the sides of the pit. You're going to see that when we get there. You're going to see that fulfilled in Revelation. Satan is going to be taken and thrown into hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels and all nations, peoples that forget God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly gaze upon you, shall observe you. That's what that narrowly mean, narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this a man? Are you serious? Is this a guy that accuse me forever before God? Is this the guy that brought me so much trouble? Is this the guy that the world said had so much power? Listen, I think sometimes we give Satan too much credit. This is who Satan's going to end up being. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms? Why do you think there's war going on over there, folks? It ain't God. God permits it. God allows it. But it ain't got anything to do with God. I heard just this week, I don't know if you heard him or not, but the son of one of the Hamas, that's what they call them, founders, his son said, he said, one of the guys that was interviewing him said, why do they hate Israel so much? Why do they hate Jews so much? And he said, oh, this is a religious thing. This is a religious war. Well, that's true. It is a religious war. Satan wants them to worship him. God wants them to worship him. And all those that are worshiping Satan hate those that are worshiping God. That's not hard, is it? That's pretty easy to understand. And it's going to go on like that. Satan is the one behind all this. That's what I'm trying to demonstrate here. When it says the king of Babylon, it's not talking about the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon was used by Satan. But Satan was the man. It's just like Judas. Anybody remember Judas? Yeah. And there's a verse in Luke, I believe it is, where he says, and when Satan had entered Judas, what did he do? For 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed the Son of God. Well, he went out and hanged himself. Satan just went on to another one and find. But that's the way it is, folks. Satan will ruin a person's life and then just leave them. God, on the other hand, will save a person's life and never leave them. Why people would choose the former instead of the latter, I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me. Now, look, if you will, at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And I've read these scriptures to you before, and you say, well, Tom, that's a repeat. Well, if anybody remembers Ezekiel 28, I'll hush. Okay, that's what I thought, so we'll go there. Ezekiel 28. I'm going to read quickly now. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of, what's the five-letter word? I believe, is it five letters? P-R-I-D-E? Pride. Pride. Well, pride goeth before destruction, and a hearty spirit before a fall. I'd say he's got both, wouldn't you? Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Was he wiser than Daniel? Not on your life. God gave Daniel his wisdom. Just read the book of Daniel. So what's that saying there? That's his pride talking. In my own self, I think I'm wiser than Daniel. The reason people aren't getting saved, folks, they think they're wiser than God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Okay. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou art gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom, by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. What's it say about riches in the Bible? The love of money is the root of all. Well, wouldn't you say this guy's got evil in him? Yet he thinks because he's gaining all this, that makes him bigger. That makes him wiser. Well, that's his view. You know, that's the thing about God. He lets you have your own view. Until he'll have his. And he hopes, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's hoping that you'll change your view of yourself. That's what repentance means. Change your mind. Change the way you're thinking. Because if you don't, if you keep that pride in your heart, what's he going to have to do? Starts with an A. Next letter's B. Next letter's A. Abase you. He has to because he says so. Those that abase themselves, I will exalt. Those that exalt themselves, I will abase. So you just keep your opinion all you want to. You know, we have that old saying, keep your opinion to your... But this guy didn't. By thy great wisdom and thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy pride and cut you up. They're going to take that pretty face away from you. You think you pretty? I'll show you pretty, he says. That's what it's saying. I mean, all you got to do is read between the lines. And he says, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the... Oh, that sounds familiar. I heard that before. And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the... Remember, he said that the land was his, the seas were his, it's all his because he'd set himself up as God. Well, God says, okay, then I'll just kill you like somebody's killed in the sea and they'll never hear from you again. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? I mean, a man comes up and sticks a sword into you and you start bleeding. What are you going to say? Well, I'm a God. That'd be sort of stupid, wouldn't it? He don't see you as a God, he sees you as a man. But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised. Well, now there's a word. Who are the uncircumcised? Huh? Well, it can mean Gentiles. But the Bible says uncircumcised people are unbelievers. He evidently didn't believe God. He exalted himself as God. So he's uncircumcised in God's eyes. God's view is this. Well, you're just an uncircumcised person. You're an unbeliever, therefore I'll deal with you. The Bible talks about uncircumcision is, you know, when he says you're a Jew inwardly. Well, he talks about the uncircumcision, or the circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. You have to have the sin cut away. But he hadn't. By the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. That's how it is. I spoke it, and that's how it is. Unchangeable. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Huh, wait a minute. Now, last time I remember, I could have this wrong, but to be the prince, you got to be the son of the king. Right? Well, now he's going to identify behind that silly young man that thought he was something special. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say this to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. Oh, well, I see now where that prince of Tyrus got that idea that he was wiser than Daniel. I made a little note here, like father, like son. And perfect in, oh, well, didn't he think he was pretty? Well, sure he did, because the Lord said, I'll take that away from you, son. They'll take your brightness away. Thou hast been in, well, now listen, I know the king of Tyrus wasn't in Eden. I know that. So I know he ain't talking about no king of Tyrus literally. He's talking about the one that's behind everything. He says, For thou wast in the Garden of Eden, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, and emerald, and carbuncle, and gold. If you go to Revelation and look at the stones that are in the city of God, you'll see that that's nine of them. So what does it tell you? Well, here's what it tells you. It tells you that Lucifer, at one time, bless God, was in heaven. Thou art the anointed cherub. That tells you that at one time, he was in heaven. And he had a high place in the government of God, if I could say it that way so that you understand it. He had a high standing, but it evidently wasn't good enough for him. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of more indication. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You remember I took you back on to Job. Remember? And it says, And it came to pass one morning that the sons of God came to before God and Satan with them. And Satan accuses Job of not being any good. Because God said, Have you considered my servant Job how perfect he is? Job said, you might think so, but I know. Oh, when God says you're perfect, guess what? That's God, he proved out to be right too, as he always will be. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast. You know, we forget that sometimes. We put too much stock on Satan, folks. Satan created just like you were, only he was created a heavenly being, and that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to be higher than God. Well, God doesn't put up with that. That's grounds to be kicked out of the house. You know, when you think you're better than daddy. Yeah. I don't know about your daddy, but my daddy, you go ahead and tell my daddy that you think you're better than him. Yeah, see how that works out for you. Just ask my brother Dan. He'll tell you. You know, Dan was the toughest guy in the family, he thought. Just ask him sometime, he'll tell you. My brother Dan was tough. Not once he is. He's not as tough as he was. He's 80-year-old. But hey, I mean, you know, when me, Dave, or Steve got into a fight and needed help, Dan! but it didn't work when he put that fist back at my daddy. No, that didn't work out for him. You don't tell me you're tougher than he is. That don't work out. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Well, Diddy, I read it to you last week, bless God, where they had this war between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, and Satan won. Oh, that's right. No, he got kicked out. I told you his grounds get kicked out of the house. Well, out he went. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. What happened when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? What did he do? Well, bless God, he put some cherubs there with the spinning swords of fire. They wasn't going back. You don't go back if God kicks you out. You ain't going back unless you go back the way God said you could go back. And that's his son. If you don't accept his son, you'll never see heaven. We've been kicked out. Can we get that? If you're in Satan's family, you're kicked out. The only way back in is to get in a different family. Maybe I don't make sense, but that's the way I see it. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And when we get to it in Revelation, bless God, you're going to see that. And it's not a Hollywood movie. It's not a best-selling book. Bless God, it's the Word of God. And that's how it ends. That's how it ends. Verse 25. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Bless God, they're going to own it, folks. They own it now. And they shall dwell safely therein. They shall build houses, plant vineyards, shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that I say this with all love. But that crowd that's out protesting against Israel, they don't have to answer to me. They'll have to answer to God, though. Remember last week I read three words, how he considers Israel. First letter's A, next letter's P, next letter's P. The apple of my eye. That's four words. No, apple of my eye. Yeah, it's four words, four words. Well, you get the point. I'm the apple of his eye, too. You're the apple of his eye. That's why we win. We win. Now, look, if you will, at real quickly, at Matthew. And I probably won't get to Revelation Day, but when I get there, it'll be so much more plain to you. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 4. Honey, I don't know till I get there. I go by where it is on the page. It's on the right side, I know that. And there it is. Right side, middle of the page. Here we go. Chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of The same one, folks. Lucifer. The king of Tyrus, who was in the Garden of Eden. The same one. I don't know why God allowed his son to be tempted like this. I don't know why. I don't have to know why. I don't have the mind of God. I'm not his counselor. But I believe it. So he says, then what Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now listen. I think in my lifetime I have fasted maybe a handful of times. And I don't ever remember getting past a handful of time. 5 days if you get the message. Can you imagine going without food for 40 days and 40 nights? You say, well, but he was God. No, folks. He was man. He got hungry just like you get hungry. He got thirsty just like you get thirsty. So you try it sometime and go 40 days and you'll see what kind of shape Jesus was in. And when the tempter, just another name for Lucifer, for the serpent, the devil, the great red dragon, all these names are his. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made. What's the problem there? What'd you say, huh? You have to say things loud because poor little Kathy over here, she's going, what'd he say? What'd she say?
He's the Son of God.
I'm sure you heard that. I barely could hear it. The height of blasphemy. And remember that word. You're going to see it. The height of blasphemy is not give God his due. It ain't if you are. I heard a guy one time, I think he'd written a book. Best memory I got. And he was talking about his experience with God. And he said, I had gotten so low in my life. He said, I was on drugs. I couldn't find any peace. And I just looked up and said, if there is a God in heaven, deliver me. And he said, it was amazing what happened to my life. Well, I don't know what happened to his life. But I guarantee you, God didn't honor that. It ain't if you're up there. Bless God you are up there. And I'm in the shape I'm in because of sin. That's what God hears. Well, Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, make these stones to be bread. Now, if you don't think he'd like to have a piece of bread right now, you're not getting this picture. I mean, I'd have to have something after a few days. 40 days, I'm going to eat shoe leather if I can. Could he have made the stones into bread? Well, sure he could, because it wasn't if he was. But that wasn't his answer. That shouldn't be our answer. He says, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, that didn't work, did it? So then he does something else. What was it he did? He took him up unto a holy place. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he says, oh, so you're going to use the word on me, I'll just throw it back at you. For it is written, Now, you'll find that in Psalms 91, by the way. But you won't see it in the same regard. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hand shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. If he had jumped from that pinnacle, would God have sent angels to catch him? Huh? I don't think he would have, folks. Because God says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, you know, that didn't just go for everybody else. Jesus said, I'll do only those things which please the Father. I'm not tempting my Father. I'm not jumping. You know, it'd be like me. Going up on the Empire State Building and saying, now, God, I'm your child. I'm jumping. I know you're going to send angels to pick me up when I splatter. No, Jesus did the exact same thing we must do, folks. When the tempter comes, this is the only fight we have. If you try to do it yourself, it don't work. So then he takes him up on a pinnacle of the city, of the mountain. And he says, if you will worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. What's the problem there? Huh? Oh, yeah, they were. They were his. Yeah. He's the usurper of this world. I mean, it's his. It's his. Well, don't you think he promises these people great riches and stuff, and it, and they get it? But Jesus knew something else. He knew that one day he would be in the throne room of God. And God would hold out the deed. And John's over here crying because there ain't nobody can take it back. It didn't belong to Satan. But Jesus said, oh no, I know how to get it back. I'll go pay the price. Satan couldn't pay the price to keep it. Christ could pay the price to take it. So he says this, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Get away, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now that word serve there is the same word used in Romans. It means service of worship. So the serving is the worship. Listen, when you come to do something in service, don't ever forget that's worship. Well, if you want your worship to be pure, then I would suggest that you make sure that service you're doing is pure. Because if you're doing it, and I know, look, please, y'all have heard me for years. I'm not being braggadocious. But I don't think you could ever remember a time that I stood here to sing that before that song started, I didn't bow my head and say, oh God, get the glory. Because if he doesn't get any glory, it's not worship. It's a talent show. It's karaoke. And people may say, oh Tom, boy, that was a great song. Or oh Les, boy, I tell you what, that's a great song. Not worth 5 cents if God didn't get the glory. That's what he's talking about. Worship, folks, is not 11 a.m. I hate that. On our sign or anybody else's sign. Sunday school at 10, worship service at 11. What is that? If we're not worshiping at 10 in the Sunday school class, folks, what are we doing here? It's not for our benefit. It's worship, and it's praise, and it's just a part of the whole service of worship. God takes worship very seriously. He said, it is written, thou shalt not worship. Thou shalt not have any other gods. Thou shalt not take unto thyself any graven images. You can't do it, he says, and be over here. Now, you can do it if you're over here, because you're trying to fool the people that's over here. But you ain't fooling the one that's over the people over here. Man looketh upon the outside. God looking right straight into your heart. I got to hurry. Now look, if you will, at I've already told you about Luke where Satan entered Judas, so I'm going to skip that. I want to go straight over to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I got to read real quick. All this is for next week, so just remember it because I'll give you a test. Okay, you ready? Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now, beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, contextually, we've already timed this, right? What time is he talking about? When the Lord comes back. So you know what the whole context is now. So he says, and now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So what's going to happen when the Lord comes back? We'll be gathered together. Now, I know there's debates, and I don't get into those debates. I know there's those that says, oh, we'll be raptured out before 7 years. I don't know. If you can find me a verse in here that says that, I'll go with you. But I don't know that. Some say, well, we'll be gathered out in the middle of the tribulation, just before the wrath of God is poured out. Sort of my view. But that's not talking about anything here except what? When the Lord comes, we're going. So what difference, if I could quote a famous woman, at this point, what difference does it make? Y'all don't remember that. Never mind. Some of y'all aren't old enough to remember. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Listen, don't be thinking it. Don't let anybody tell you it's so. He says, don't let them go, because they'd evidently start selling all their stuff and they're just going to sit around and wait. He says, oh no. Don't let anybody, even us, don't let them tell you that. He says, because let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, the apostasy, the great apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I read that, and some people say, oh, well, then I know who the Antichrist is. It's got to be Judas, because Judas was called the son of perdition. Well, honey, if you're over here, you all the sons of perdition, because that's his name. Remember when the locusts were let out of the pit and they had a king over them? What was their names? Apollyon and Abaddon. And what did they mean? Destruction. Perdition is the same word in the Greek. It's the same word in John 3:16 where he says that if we believe we shall not perish but have everlasting. You can come on in. I'm going as fast as I can. I promise. I got to do this. And who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped as God. Was that not what the king of Babylon said? Is that not what the king of Tyre said? The same things? They go set themselves up as God in the temple of God, that they are God? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? I've told you this before, he said. Quit getting upset. Quit getting nervous. Listen, just look for the Lord. It doesn't matter when he comes. He knows you. He won't forget you. You won't be left behind. I know they got that book out or something called Left Behind. I'm not going to be left behind. Bless God, not me. Not because I'm something special. I'm just a child of God. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's holding this thing back. But when God says so, the Holy Spirit's influence, get out of here. Well, what goes with the Holy Spirit's influence, folks? Starts with a C, next layer's H, next layer's U, next layer's R. Church. So if you want to know when you're going to be raptured, it's when the Holy Spirit leaves out of here with his influence, you'll go with him. What difference does it make when it is? That's my point anyway. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his... Wasn't that what he said earlier that he was going to do? I read that to you in the Old Testament. Well, if I could remember what my pastor says about the Old Testament, New Testament, I'd quote it to you, but I can't ever get it straight. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall be consumed with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, he's going to be doing exactly what Satan wants him to do. Because Satan's going to be in him. Just like Christ was the God-man, which meant that he was man, but God was in him. Well, Satan's going to duplicate that, to imitate that, and he'll have his man. And that's the Antichrist. And all it means is, it's a human being that Satan went into. That's all it means. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That word perish is the same word as destruction. The son of perdition. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, for this very reason. For this very reason, they wouldn't accept the love of the truth. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. What was that Toyota commercial? You asked for it, you got it. You wanted to live without me, you got it. You didn't see me, you got it. You didn't want me, you got it. Now, bless God, you're going to belong to this guy over here that has nothing good in store for you. And the punishment I deal out to him, I will deal out to you. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, a person can go on and live in sin and enjoy it and think they're having a gay old time if they want to, but one day the party's going to be over. And they're going to find out the hard way. The truth. The truth. And nothing but the truth. My word, he said, is forever settled. Y'all can come on in. Settled. Unchanging. In heaven. I'll start next week.